We appreciate so much the opportunity that we have to be together like this. It's a blessing of the Lord, and we just pray this morning that God would talk to our hearts. I feel like He's laid a little burden on my heart that I'd just like to share this morning, and I hope it can challenge all of us. In Philippians 2 and 14, Paul gives, through inspiration, gives a little admonition to us here, and he says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." You know, I don't think much has changed as far as the crooked and perverse nation and among whom ye shine as lights. I want to talk to us a little bit this morning about what we have on the inside, that it shines out. Because a light is lit because of what's on the inside of the bulb and what the power that is in that. And so this morning, I believe that the Lord has a light for you and me. And I think that He wants us to live right in the middle of a crooked and perverse generation and a wicked world and live right in that place. I don't think God's people has to flee to some lonely desert place to live for God. I know sometimes you have to get out of a place, but I believe that the Lord wants us to shine as lights in the middle of this place. And that's what Paul did, and that's what they did in the early days. And they went before kings, and they went before places and took that light of the gospel. So this morning, I'd like for us to think a little bit about the inside and what God wants to be shining out to the world all around us. I want to look at Matthew 10, just to kind of set a little, a few scriptures before we really talk about some of the things on the inside. But Matthew 10 and 16, it says, "Behold, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." You know, Jesus did not sugarcoat what was going to happen, did he? He told us, "I'm sending you in the midst of a pack of wolves." Now, what do wolves do? They devour. They fight. They scramble. They run in a pack. They attack things. They try to pull things down. They try to eat things up. And Jesus said, "I'm going to send you like a sheep." And a sheep would be a wonderful target for a wolf, wouldn't it? But he didn't say, "You tuck your tail and you hide the best you can." He said, "I'm going to send you out there in the midst of them." And he said, "I want you to be, ye therefore, wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved." Now I wish that I could tell you this morning that everything is going to be easy and nice. You take this way, you've got the easiest way there is. Jesus said they're going to deliver you up and they're going to hate you. But you know what? That's not the end of the story, is it? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Though he sends us forth with the spirit of a sheep, and though he sends us forth with meekness, with gentleness, with love, with the fruits of the Spirit in our heart and life coming out to other people, and though he sends us forth like that, we're not unprotected. The Lord said there won't a hair of your head perish. And I believe that lines right up here with being put to death, because there's not one thing going to happen to his people unless God lets it happen. There's not one hair going to happen. And so I'm just going to be lost. And so I just want us to think this morning about the world being full of strife and evil. And folks, we have something the Lord wants us to take to the world. And I want to talk to us a little bit this morning about having the meekness, the gentleness, the purity of Christ in our hearts, that we can shine to a world that's not that way and have that light that is greater. Light overcomes darkness. Anywhere light is, it overcomes the darkness around it. That's what the Lord is sending us out to do. He's sending us out in the spirit, not of a wolf to bite and devour and be stronger than them, but in the spirit of a sheep. That is gentle, that is meek, that is lowly, to overcome the darkness that's in the world. So this morning, the Lord wants to put something in our hearts and in our lives that's greater than the things around us. I want to look at Acts 21 and start at verse 30 and read here a little of one of Paul's happenings where he went. This is verse 30, chapter 21. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together and they took Paul. We're going to read down through 40. They took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, didn't Jesus say, you're going to suffer some things? So if we're going to be a Christian, let's let the Lord light us up and live in our life. Now here they went about to kill him, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple and forthwith shut the doors. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. And some cried one thing, some another, among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying, away with him. And as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, may I speak unto thee? Who said, canst thou speak Greek? Art not thou that Egyptian which before these days madest an uproar and ledest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers? But Paul said, I'm a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, and Paul went on to preach a message to them. You know, this here, I just want us to notice a couple of things. The people were crying out, and the chief captain came. And it says some cried one thing and some another among the multitude. And he couldn't even know the certainty of what was going on there, because they were so intense and so furious. You know, this morning, this is just a really good example of the contrast between a Christian and the world. I want to talk to us a little bit this morning about keeping our heart at peace. These people, probably many of them, didn't have a clue what they were even upset about. They just knew they were in that mob thing. And they were in that vein, and they were hollering and yelling, and the more it went, the greater it got, until they were ready to kill him. Well, a few of them knew what they were after. They didn't like this Christian thing. They didn't like Paul. But you know, many of them were just in a mob spirit. I want us to look at our life this morning. Paul stood on the stairs, and he beckoned with his hand. I want to speak to you. And finally, the people settled down and they could hear. And I just want to think this morning about that being the case in our heart and our life. The Lord wants our life to be settled down. Settled down, quiet, in our spirit, where we can hear what the Lord wants to say to us. Many times we have so much going on inside of here. People have so much going on, they can't even hear what the Lord has to say. Lots of times, there's so much strife going on. It can be in the home. It can be turning on the radio or whatever, listening to politics all the time and becoming so engrossed in that mob spirit. It can happen right in your home. It can be that. I have walked in homes before and just felt the walls and the ice. The heat, the trouble, all of that. You know, it happens, doesn't it? In the world all the time. And it can happen in our lives if we're not careful. But Paul held up his hand. Wait a minute, folks. Just wait. Just wait. Just settle down. Just hang on. I want to say something and you can't hear it. Sometimes we have our reasonings. And we hear what somebody's going to say before they even say it. And we think we do. And we already have our answer. And we never even hear what they really want to say to us this morning. I really believe that God wants our heart to be a contented, godly, holy place where He can speak to us day by day. I believe the Lord did not quit speaking when He spoke to the apostles and the prophets and all of those. He wants to speak to all of us now. But many times we outrun Him. Many times we have too much going on and we can't hear. And the Lord says, quiet down. Now He's not talking so much about our speech as much as He is about our heart, our spirit. That our spirit quiets down. That we don't allow the enemy to cause us to strive the way the world strives. The world strives, they get something in their mind. They get something in their heart. And that's what they're after. And they can't even hear. When the Lord stops them over and over, all these junctions, He stops them. And they don't listen. This morning, I believe the Lord wants us to be one of those that don't allow our spirit to get in that kind of situation. That we keep ourselves before the Lord. We're prone to that, aren't we? We have to stop. And we have to. I want to read a verse over in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 11 that brings this out so clearly. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 11, it says, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business. Now that doesn't mean you don't ever talk or say anything. He's talking about your spirit. He's talking about who we are. That ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. You know, if we could this morning really buy into that in all of our lives. You know what that would do for us? You know what this kind of thing, and I know many of us have, but you know what this does for us this morning? Listen to what this means. This same word study is translated in 2 Corinthians 5 and 9, wherefore we labor. In Romans 15 and 20, it's translated, so have I strived. So how do we reconcile laboring and striving and studying to being quiet? Folks, if we're going to have quietness in our soul and be contented, we're going to have to wrestle for it. We're going to have to wrestle away some of the things that wants to get in our life and make us discontented. We're going to have to overcome some of the bitternesses that could create things in our hearts that would make us unable to be at rest and at peace in our lives. We're going to have to overcome those things, get forgiveness to people, get things out of our heart that wants to get lodged in there, that we begin to want things that we don't need, and we begin our life begins to think on those things all the time, and then we try to read the Word of God and it seems like it's brazen to us. Oh, I really believe that God wants to work in our hearts and lives until from inside radiates a light of contentedness, of peace, of joy, of the things that God wants to give to the world. I think that, I believe that is something the world longs for today, don't you? I think it does. And I just want to encourage us this morning that we struggle, that we study, that we strive to be quiet, that we don't let ourselves get riled with the world. Every day we are inundated with bad news. Does anybody else know that this morning? Does anybody else relate to that? Every single day. It doesn't matter what happens, they're going to report the news that sells. And many times they feel like that's bad news. And they do that all the time. Do you know that the Lord doesn't want us to live in a state of all riled up all the time? He wants us to study, to show the world that there can be some people in the midst of all the wickedness and all the disquieted spirits and all those that have evil ambitions and all those things. There are people that can be very contented with doing God's will and with doing things honestly. I think there's something to that. In 1 Peter 3 and 4, now these things have to radiate out of us. They can't be manufactured. We can try, but I will tell you, I believe the Lord wants to light our lives up more by His Spirit. That means we have to cut off. We have to struggle for this thing. We have to cut some things off sometimes that would disquiet us and keep us in a state. If we see it continually happening, then we need to start thinking about what we need to cut off. And I preach to myself here this morning. The Lord help us to value those things which are above, knowing that when we do, God will take care of the rest for us. I believe that this morning with all my heart. In 1 Peter 3 and 4, we've heard this scripture plenty of times. And I'm just going to read, well, I'll read the whole thing. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible. It can't be corrupted. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Just want to encourage us this morning that we ornament ourselves. I know this is speaking to the sisters here and to the women, but I believe the scriptures bear out, we'll read a couple of them, that it's for all of us this morning, that we have a meek and a gentle and a quiet spirit. Now, it says in 2 Corinthians 10 and 1, Paul said, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." And he goes on, I just wanted that first part of that. But Paul was beseeching them, and he was using as his guide the meekness and gentleness of Christ. You know, this morning, I see Christ as a strong person. Don't you? I don't see Christ as weak. I see Christ as one that took the worst the enemy had to offer and turned around and gave the world the greatest gift it ever had. And can we not take the things that he allows in our lives and turn around and gift the world with that which God has given to us? I believe we can this morning. We're going to have to fight for it. And we're going to have to work for it a little bit, because if we don't, it'll envelop us. But I believe the scripture means what it says when it says study. Study to be quiet in our spirit. That's what it's speaking of, I believe, mostly. In Galatians 5 and 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I don't think there's anywhere that won't work. Even in tough situations, it's all right to still show love and be strong. And so we see these fruits. Now think about it. Do you know people that, or have you known somebody that was just an outstanding example of this? In their hearts, in their lives, they just had a gentleness. They just had a peace that, in spite of all the troubles of life, it radiated out of them. When they came into troubled situations, you find them helping calm the place. When there's a mob violence going on, and when the devil's trying to do as he does and stir things up and get you all roiled in your spirit and all of that, and he'll try to do that, and we'll start going down that road, won't we? And the Spirit of the Lord will say, you need to leave this thing alone. Don't let your spirit be all in a mob type situation. And so I believe the Lord wants to light our lives up, folks. This thing is beautiful. I believe we have the answer that the world needs. I really believe if the world opened their hearts and took into it the true Spirit of God, not just spirit in the idea of their attitudes and thoughts and mind, but the Spirit of God itself living in their hearts and in their lives, enveloping them, engulfing their life, living through them. I really think, I believe this thing is really, it's something people want. It's what they long all their lives for, if they could just have some measure of peace. And that's what we have to give them this morning. I'm thinking here about the word gentleness. You know, when someone is gentle, it opens so many doors. You know, when somebody is rash, harsh, cutting, ugly, doesn't it shut a lot of doors? Just the opposite happens when we're gentle and kind. Now, that's part of the fruits of the Lord living in our life. Let's draw up to the Lord. Let's seek Him. Lord, I want my life full of this kind of thing. We want our children to be moved upon by those things, don't we? The Lord help us. The best thing we can give them is a light that they can follow to Christ. That's the best thing we can give them. So this morning, the Lord help us to, in our lives, to show meekness forth, to really have a spirit. I'm talking about the inner man this morning, the way we react, the things we do, the things we allow into our hearts and minds, that we conquer ourselves. That's a job, isn't it? That we allow the meekness of the Lord and the gentleness of His Spirit to work through us. His peace. In 2 Timothy 2 and 24, we find some other verses. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And here we find Paul is telling Timothy some instructions on how he's supposed to act and how he's supposed to be. He says the servant of the Lord must not get into strife. He must not strive, but be gentle and patient with all men, even those that oppose themselves, where we find that on every hand, don't we? All over the place, we find people opposing themselves. And you wonder, why do you do that? Why are you living like that? Don't you know that's going to cost you your marriage? Don't you know that's going to cost you your children? Don't you know that that costs you the peace of God in your life? Don't you know God has something better than that? Sometimes we might want to get involved on their level, but the Lord doesn't want us to do that. He said, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Let's ask the Lord, Lord, make me gentle. Make me able to speak to people in gentleness, and make me patient with people. Help me to have meekness when I'm instructing those that oppose themselves. Help me not to yell at them and get mad at them and all of those things. Help me to be have meekness at those times. I believe the Lord wants our lives to be like that today. Paul was that way. He gives us his own testimony, and that's in 1 Thessalonians 2 and 7 and 8. I want to look at what he said he did. Now this is what he told Timothy. But 2 and 7 and 8 says, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. You know, there was something inside besides just gentleness. There was a love there that this person has toward these others. Those that oppose themselves, it's easy for us to despise them. And the Lord wants us to overcome that. And he wants us to be gentle with them and love them. Those are fruits that only his Spirit can give sometimes. We were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. Is it possible to correct our children and still be gentle? Is it possible to give the punishment that's needed and still be gentle? I know some people don't think so in the world all around us. But you know what? The Lord wants us to learn better. I believe that if we'll have emanating out of our life, illuminating the world around us, there's a better way, folks. There's a better way. Do we not like what's going on in the world around us? No, we don't. I don't think anybody in this United States hardly really likes the way things are going right now. It's a broil all the time. It's constantly that way. And it's easy for you and me to get sucked into that. And we have to be careful, or we will. But you know what? The Lord tells us not to speak evil of our rulers. He tells us not to get into that broil. Let's don't do that. Can we disagree? Yes. Can we do it gently? Yes, we can. Can we have even more effect that way many times? Yes, we can. If the Christians would stand up and be Christians and really truly have the Spirit of God in what they do, I believe there would be enough respect garnered that things... It would be amazing, I believe, what God could do. If God peradventure will give them repentance. Philippians 4 and 11. And I know most of us are familiar with this. We know what 4 and 11 is. It says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Now, I'm going to tell you now, I'm working on this too. I've learned, Paul said, to be content. You know what? We have to study. We have to strive for that. We have to make some cut some things off for this to happen. We have to cut the flesh off in order for this to happen. Because there's something wonderful about a contented person. There's something wonderful about that. It's very inviting to the world to see someone that's contented. What's in your life? Because we all live in the same place, don't we? So the Lord help us today that we will be contented in the state that we're in. And I believe that God can give us that in such a manner that it can really be something that is really attractive to the world. I know this is just kind of a very simple and quiet message, but I felt like a few days ago the Lord started talking to me about this. So the Lord help us this morning that we just open our hearts. Lord, it is between my life and you, my heart and you, for me to allow you to work in here the way you want to work. I have to die to some things for that to happen. I have to give myself to you for you to be able to work in me like you want to. But it's something that we ought to take heed to this morning. I want to read another place over in Isaiah 30 and 15. The prophet got a hold of something here that I believe we would do well to get a hold of ourselves. Isaiah 30 and 15, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And he went on to say, and you would not. Why do people not do that? I'm not sure. Because the flesh pulls, the flesh draws, the flesh wants its place. But folks, we need to recognize where it is that we win. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength this morning. I believe that still that applies to us too. Sometimes we have to quiet our spirit and not allow all the things in our mind, the things we might want, the questions we may have, the things we may see all around us, the things that upset us, the things we wish were different in our life. So many things can come in and take our heart and our mind until we can't hear when the Lord wants to speak to us. And the Lord's holding his hand up all along. Quieten down in your spirit. Quieten down and just draw real close to me. I have some things to say to you. Do we get this morning? I know we do. But the Lord help us today that we recognize the workings of God in our life. I believe that the Lord wants to work in our lives. I know I mentioned this last week on another note, or I don't remember exactly how I mentioned it, but Elijah and the prophets of Baal, you know, when they came to that sacrifice, it says they leaped, this is 1 Kings 18, and cried loudly to Baal. They cut themselves with knives and lancets until the blood flowed. And they did all of that because they were so intense to get what they wanted. And it wasn't there. And it never would be there. And they couldn't get intense enough for it to be there. But when Elijah took his turn, he knew the Lord, and he just simply said, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. And you know, there was one man and 450 prophets of Baal there, but there was one man that knew the Lord. He knew the voice of God. When God spoke to him, he understood it. He knew because he was living for God. You know, this morning, there needs to be someone in our circle that knows the Lord. There needs to be somebody that can begin to pray, "Hear me, O Lord." And with confidence, they know he's going to hear them. With confidence, they know, I'm not going to have to cut myself. I'm not going to have to get in some intensity of frenzy. Yes, I may have to fast and pray something down sometimes. And yes, we have to do without the flesh sometimes. But I will tell you, there needs to be somebody. Because the scriptures plainly tell us that Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. He was just a man. But you know what? He knew the Lord. He was a prophet of God. And I believe today that the Lord wants every one of us to hear his voice like that. I think the Lord wants all of us to know the Lord, from the least to the greatest, the scripture says. They'll all know me. And there won't be anybody teaching, you know, saying, "Know the Lord," because they'll all know me. You know, that's what the Lord wants us. He's interested in this heart meeting God and humbling before God and hearing God and taking his way and being transformed by the Lord. And then there becomes that radiant spirit of God living in our soul that radiates out. I believe the Lord wants to do this for us more than we realize he does. He wants to do that. God help us this morning that we allow him. Folks, we have a light that the world needs real bad. And so Elijah, he said, "O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. You know, Elijah knew God, and he worked for him. Now, a day later or so, Elijah was running for his life. You know why? Because he was a man of like passions like as we are. He got scared and took off. You know, this morning, we've got to draw ourselves in. We've got to stop and say, "What, Lord?" And he went 40 days and 40 nights. And then the Lord, all this earthquake and fire and storm of wind and all of these things happened. But Elijah knew the Lord wasn't in that. He wasn't wanting to share something with him in that. But then he heard a still small voice. I believe, folks, I know God works a lot of different ways. And I know that he is not always, he speaks in different ways. But I'll tell you, we've got to get quiet to hear him. Let's quiet our spirits. Let's quiet the strivings of the enemy. When we realize that I can't have worship for all the things going through my mind, we know we've got to get rid of some things going through our mind. We've got to get quiet. And God is holding his hand up saying, "Quiet. I want to speak to you. I want to say some things to you." And we've got to quieten down. We might have to run away from some things for a day or so. "Lord, I want to hear your voice. Lord, I need you to speak to me." Have you ever done that? Have you ever got on your knees? Have you ever went to your room, went on a walk, whatever, and just, "I'm going to seek the Lord for a while. Lord, I need to hear from you. I've got to have direction. I've got to have understanding. I've got to have something." God wants to give it to us this morning. And he wants to give it to us. I believe that. You know, David, he said, "Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people." David was a king, how many years? I don't remember. 40 years or more, I think. He was a king a long time. He saw a lot of things. He saw his own son rise up against him to take his life and the kingdom. And David wrote here, he said, "Lord, you've delivered me from the strivings of the people." All around us, folks, are strivings. All around us is trouble and wickedness. And it hits close to home sometimes. But I will tell you, I believe that the Lord wants there to be a few people that have their feet on the ground, that when everybody else is cutting themselves and hollering and yelling, there's somebody that's standing still, unwilling to bend to all of that. Elijah said, pour the water on that sacrifice. Here, do it again. Do it a third time until there's just water everywhere. I want this people to know that there is a God in Israel. Do you know this morning, I believe we want the people to know too, don't we? Maybe just a few more verses here. I think about James. We've read that many times. Probably will never quit reading it. I want to have it in my own arsenal often. James 3 and 17 to 18. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. As we know, that means not mixed. It's not mixed with the things of this world, jealousy, anger, hatred, any of that. Then it's peaceable and gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now that all follows these scriptures before. Verse 16 says, for where envying and strife is. Folks, we need to remember this. I have thought of this many times when I've seen envying and strife. The scriptures tell us something. When you see it, there is confusion and every evil work in the middle of all that strife and confusion and meddling and all of that stuff, folks. You can nail it down somewhere. There's more than just somebody not getting along. If there's real strife involved, there's wickedness too. Verse 14 and 15, he says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. And it goes on to say, for where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. And so this morning, I trust that I know this is kind of simple and basic, but I tell you, I believe if we'll do these things, God will take care of the rest. And I believe that our life will be a light that means something to the world around us if we're of this nature and of this kind. One of the commentaries says, I'll read just some of it here, of Thessalonians 4 and 11 that we read here a while ago, that you study to be quiet. He says, orderly, peaceful, living in the practice of the calm virtues of life. The duty to which he would exhort them was that of being subordinate to the laws, of avoiding all tumult and disorder, of calmly pursuing their regular avocations, and of keeping themselves from all the assemblages of the idle, the restless, and the dissatisfied. No Christian should be engaged in a mob. None should be identified with the popular excitements which lead to disorder and the disregard of the laws. The word rendered you study, well, it goes on, and I'll skip some of this. And he tells us to do our own business. It doesn't just say to study, to be quiet, but it says to do your own business. Do you know this morning, we don't just lay aside one thing. We pick up another life. The Lord wants our life to be one that is full of the good things of God. It's full of the good works of the Lord. It's not only full of the Spirit of the Lord and our spirit different, but the works that we do, the Lord wants it to be so. He doesn't want us to be idle and running around from place to place, and constantly on our lips is stuff that makes the flesh broil and getting involved in things that we shouldn't get so involved in. You know, this morning, idleness is one of the great evils of the pagan world in almost every country, and the parent of no small part of their vices. The effect of religion everywhere is to make people industrious, and every man who is able should feel himself under sacred obligation to be employed. God made man to work, and there is no more benevolent arrangement of his government than this. No one who has already enough for himself and family but can make money to do good to others. And he goes on, he's pretty strong here, no one who can make money to do good to others has a right to retire from business and to live in idleness. If no one has a right to live in such a relation as to be wholly dependent on others, if he can support himself, and no one has a right to compel others to labor for him and to exact their unrequited toil in order that he may be supported in indolence and ease. I just want to say this morning, however we feel about that, the Lord wants us, I believe, not to be idlers. In all of our life, the best we can do is make ourselves useful some way. I really believe God would be pleased in that. I really believe it'll keep the water flowing. Ponds, just a pond, tends to dry up and stink. It breeds all kinds of evils. And I want to encourage us that as we go on toward life, I know things change as we get older in life. Folks, one of the greatest assets we have is our older folks. I want to encourage all of us. We need you. We need your input. We need your prayers. We need your part put in. We don't need you to disappear off the scene. We need you to help us in all of this. Our young people need you. And so the application, he says, of this rule to all mankind would speedily put an end to slavery and would convert multitudes, even in the church, from useless to useful people. If a man has no necessity to labor for himself and family, he should regard it as an inestimable privilege to be permitted to aid those who cannot work, the sick, the aged, the infirm. If a man has no need to add to what he has for his own temporal comfort, what a privilege it is for him to toil in promoting public improvements. And he goes on and talks about some of those. And so this morning, I know that's maybe a little different, but I just want to encourage us today to quiet ourselves down, to put ourselves to good use and be useful in the Lord's kingdom, realizing God has something for me that still makes me useful, that still makes me feel my purpose, that still makes me feel like I'm worth something. God has, his whole plan works on all the levels. It makes us into people that are happy, that are holy, and that are very useful in this life. I just want to encourage all of us. God bless each one of us. Lord, teach us to have a heart that will radiate out a light to others, that though they may not understand everything, I believe they can understand one thing. There's something beautiful there. There's a light there that I wish was in my life. We want that this morning. Y'all pray for me.